Again, and it's my privilege to welcome you to our Sunday service. And this morning we're delighted to have with us Roger Williams, who will be bringing God's word to us later. Now, thank you again for all your contacts. Just let me mention a few of you this week. I've heard from Peter and Kath, from Jeanette, from Graham and Salim, and from Peter. So now let's commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer. So, loving Father, we ask that you will help us as we gather to worship you, that you will enable us to bring our worship and praise to you in sincerity of heart. Thank you for loving us so much that you willingly gave your own dear Son to die in our place, to purchase the forgiveness for the guilt of our sin, and for raising our Lord Jesus from the dead to show your acceptance of his sacrifice. So we ask God the Holy Spirit to help us now to worship our mighty triune God. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now we have a birthday this week. Birthday girl is Kate, and so Kate, this is just for you.
Happy birthday to you.
So let's turn to our Bibles now to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And we're going to begin at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her.
Hello there, friends. It's good to be with you again, even if it is only by a sound link. Hey, what a year it's been, hasn't it? But here we are, coming up to Christmas once again. We've made it through to the season of Advent, and today we have a familiar part of the Christmas story in Luke chapter 1, as the angel comes with his message to Mary. Actually, I was wondering what sort of a year it had been for Mary when the angel came. She hadn't been in lockdown like us, of course. There was no COVID-19 in those days. But there must have been lots of other things to worry about. There were all sorts of potentially deadly diseases around then, you know. TB, polio, leprosy, just to name a few. And of course, they had no modern medicines, no antibiotics, no National Health Service to take care of you when you did fall ill. Life could be very uncertain back then. Mary might, of course, been all excited about her forthcoming wedding to Joseph, but then again she might have been a bit worried at the thought of having to leave her own home and family, about how she'd be accepted in her new home with Joseph's people, how she'd cope with all the new responsibilities that marriage will bring. But then the angel came, saying, "Greetings, You who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you. We read that Mary was greatly troubled at his words, and I'm not really surprised. An angelic visitor isn't something you see every day. So I'm not at all surprised that Mary was troubled, alarmed, I should think, by the sudden appearance of this visitor from beyond the world, and confused by his greeting. A bit like answering a knock at your door, I suppose, and finding a couple of policemen standing there, raising all sorts of questions like, what have I done? Why are you here? Why have you come to me? What's it all about? After all, who was she, Mary, to be highly favoured by the Lord? And what was it that the Lord wanted of her? So yes, she was worried. But the angel replied, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Now Mary is even more startled. A baby. And no ordinary baby either. This baby was to be the one who would inherit the throne of David, the one who would reign forever with an eternal kingdom. None other, in fact, than the long-promised Messiah, the Christ. Now this in itself was tremendous news. But as she listened to the angel's message, it seems there was one thing that stood out to Mary. How was she going to have the child? Maybe the date of her marriage wasn't as close as we'd been thinking. If it had been, if she'd been going to be married in the next week or so, or even in the next month or few, she could have taken the angel's message as a straightforward prophecy about the baby that would surely come. After all, in those days, marriage meant having babies. But no, that apparently wasn't how it was going to be. So, how can this happen, she asked. I'm a virgin. I've never had relations with a man. You know that people knew perfectly well where babies came from, even back in those days. Even young girls like Mary knew that. And she knew what she had, or rather, she had not been doing. So she asked, how can this be? And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And he added, even your relative Elizabeth is going to have a child in her old age. Every word of God shall surely come true. So, there was to be no immediate marriage to Joseph then. No relationship, in fact, with any man. There would be no human father for this baby. The Holy Spirit would come upon her, and the creative power of God would act directly upon her to bring about her pregnancy, so that the Holy One to be born would indeed be called the Son of God. Well, how do you respond to a statement like that? There was only one reply that Mary could make. I am the Lord's servant, she said. May it happen to me just as you said it would. There were lots of unanswered questions, of course. Not least, how would people respond or react to the news of her becoming pregnant? What would her own family think? What would the other people in the village do? Perhaps most importantly, what would her fiancé Joseph have to say? would she find herself rejected, mocked and scorned, cast out of society? It didn't matter, though. You see, the Lord was with her, and her baby was going to be the promised Messiah. And she could safely leave all the details for the Lord to handle. And so Mary was obedient. And as Matthew tells us, the Lord spoke to Joseph in a dream, so that problem at least was sorted. And the Christmas story moves on, as we know, to the birth of the Saviour in Bethlehem. And so as we come to Christmas, we can give thanks for Mary's simple faith and obedience and call her blessed indeed, because she was willing to accept God's plan for her life. Whatever problems, misunderstandings and hardships it might bring, our Saviour came into the world. But how do we react when challenging situations come our way? We might not find the angel Gabriel knocking on our door, but God has other ways of speaking to us, other messengers that he can use. And as the American preacher Ron Dunn used to say, the Lord's messengers don't always come in the way, the shape or form that we would expect them to come. And he often uses some very unlikely ministers, as Ron called them, to speak to us, to direct our paths and lead us to where he wants us to go. Take redundancy, for example. It was redundancy from my old job in Halifax back in 1995 that led me into a new career, that sent me and Margot out there to China, where we were able to live and work for 10 years and where we've been able to work with and serve the church there for well over 20 years now. Well, there's illness perhaps that might make us take an entirely different view of things. COVID even, and this wretched lockdown. God can use all of these things and more to call us to a deeper trust in himself, to a new and fuller obedience, to a new and more wonderful service, if we are willing, like Mary, to accept his plan for us. The way ahead may not be easy. It may well be fraught with difficulties and problems. Mary herself, as you know, was soon to find herself a homeless refugee in Egypt, fleeing with her husband and son from the wrath of King Herod. But in all these things, as Paul tells us in Romans 8:28, God works for the good of those who love him. It was true for Mary back then, and it's just as true for us today. So maybe we can make Mary's words of faith and obedience our own this Christmas time. There's one of Charles Wesley's great hymns that puts it like this. And don't worry, I'm not going to sing it to you. Behold the servant of the Lord. I wait thy guiding hand to feel, to hear and keep thine every word, to prove and do thy perfect will. Joyful from mine own work to cease, and glad to fulfil all righteousness. Here then to thee thine own I leave, mould as thou wilt the passive clay, but let me all thy stamp receive, but let me all thy words obey. Serve with a single heart and eye, and to thy glory live and die. Let's make those words our own as we go forward into 2021, and I hope into a better year for all of us.
Thank you, Roger, for opening up God's word for us today. And now Last week I told you who got the question right from a couple of weeks ago, but I omitted to actually tell you the answer, and of course it was Lot, who was the father of the Ammonites. And this week three people got the right answer to the question, where is the very first mention of Jerusalem in the Bible? And of course it is in Joshua chapter 10 and the opening verse. So have a go at this one. This will be the last question for this year. In the Old Testament, we read that Jesus appears from time to time as an angel of the Lord. And twice in these appearances, the people he appeared to asked his name. So, question is, who were the two people, what were their names, who were the two people who asked Jesus his name? So we close now with a song, a short prayer, and a hymn. I'm sorry about that, I've managed to drop the pointer, so we'll start again.
Your baby boy would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great
Father God, we thank you for our Lord Jesus, the great I Am. And we pray that as we have brought our worship to you and heard you speak to us, that you will help us to take in all that we've heard and to seek to make our lives wrapped up in our Lord Jesus. We ask this in his name. Amen.